You're listening to the TES News Podcast. If you're a fan of one of our other podcast shows, they're now available in their own show feeds, so you can subscribe to hear the TES content that matters most to you. TES Pedagogy, TES FE, TES Scotland, and TES International podcasts are a quick search away, available wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to this week's TES podcast. I'm Dave Speck and joining me is Catherine Love. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, hi.
And we've got Amy Gibbons. Amy, hello.
Hello.
And Will Stewart. Will, hi.
Hello.
Now, Catherine, your exclusive story leading our website today is that teacher-assessed grades at GCSE and A-level will mostly be ignored when it comes to awarding results. Is that right?
Yes, it is to an extent. So I think in terms of the vast majority of GCSE grades, they are not going to be based, we've learned, on teacher assessed grades that were submitted to exam boards. So schools submitted two things to the boards. They submitted a rank order of students per subject, but they also submitted grades from teachers on how pupils would have done had they had the opportunity to sit exams this year. And we have learned that for the majority of GCSE subjects where there's a cohort larger than 15 in terms of entries, which will be lots of subjects in schools like maths, English language, combined science will all fall under that, then the teacher assessed grades are not going to be used as part of the final grade calculation. And obviously for teachers who may have spent like a long time deliberating on how to give the most accurate grade to reflect a pupil's likely performance in the exam this year, it must be quite frustrating to learn that. There are some exceptions. So in schools where there's kind of no historic data, so say, you know, a free school where they were set up 5 years ago, this is their first year's GCSE cohort, then teacher assessed grades will be used. But for schools where there's historic data, they won't be. And so obviously for a lot of teachers, that's going to be concerning that the judgment they gave isn't really being taken into account.
Can I just play devil's advocate? Because, you know, schools will still use the rank, Ofqua will still use the rank order provided by schools in assessing in giving out the grades, won't it? So the pupils at the top of the ranking order will still get the best grades. So that's, it's not all been in vain, has it, in that regard?
But you might ask why all teachers were asked to. I mean, you could do a rank order without actually having to give specific grades. So I mean, why? I guess if I was a teacher, that's what I'd be thinking. I mean, yeah, you'd be misrepresenting it to say that teachers haven't got any input at all.
Mm.
But it does seem quite strange that, maybe not strange if you step back and think about it, but a bit of a surprise that having asked for all these grades to come in, and sorry, Catherine, explained it very well, but it's worth re-emphasising that in most of these results, it's not saying that grades will only play a limited part. It's saying they won't play any part at all. They're well in some circumstances, but for the vast majority of GCSE results, and in big A-level subjects, 60% of those, they won't play any part at all. And as I say, if you step back, you can understand the logic. A lot of it is to do with statistics. And in the end, the results that come out, I think Ofqual have already pointed that out, aren't maybe, most of them aren't going to be that far away from what teachers would have said. But it just seems a strange way to ask for all of this and then not to use it.
I think it's all well and good saying, you know, they'll have the rank order, which will obviously be important, but I imagine that some teachers will have really agonised over whether the student is likely to get an A or a B or whatever it might be. And they really have a huge amount of thought into what criteria, you know, makes you eligible for each of those grades. And so to hear that actually the individual grades won't be taken into consideration, rather the rank order is the most important thing, might be frustrating for them.
with the kind of the idea of the rank order, and when you were saying, Dave, about the kind of the top end as well, and it's worth saying that's part of the calculation, that the prior attainment of this year's cohort is being used. But I think, you know, whether or not you're at the top of the rank order, if you are in a school which historically doesn't have, yes, you know, a really strong performance in a subject, yep, and you were someone on track for, like, say, a top A star, I think, you know, that there is still that your teachers might have awarded you that, but actually under this calculation, are you going to get that? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So even though you are at the top of a ranking, if with all that other data, you know, that still might mean that your final grade doesn't perhaps reflect what your ability was. Now, you know, you can say, well, this is the best of a worst situation, you know, in terms of what the exam boards had to do this year and what Ofqual had to do. But I think, yeah, it is still going to be concerning for teachers where they feel that groups...
We should note there that there is more, that Ofqual announced this week that there is more scope for appeals than people have possibly thought before. So in the example that Catherine just gave, if there was somebody, you know, it was particularly high ability that they thought whose efforts weren't caught by the statistical model, then their school can appeal on their behalf. So there's a bit more hope there. For me, I think this is a lot of what this story is interesting is about, is it's a kind of clash between people's perceptions of how the exam system should work and how it actually works. Because in a way, this isn't that different from what happens every year. Because, okay, pupils always do their exam results every year, but the pattern of grades is so kind of closely controlled within statistical modelling to make sure it doesn't go up and down, that it's really a kind of almost a continuation of that methodology. But I think what's interesting, people won't necessarily realise the extent to which this is used, and that's why Catherine's story is so interesting, because it just shows, you know, how far the balance has moved away from, in normal years, from pupils' performance to statistics, and this year from teachers' assessments and performance. Mm. I think if you look in Scotland, you know, the thousands of young people, yeah, turn out on the streets this morning to protest.
Have you turned out this morning? I haven't checked. Is that?
Yeah. Against I think nearly 7,000 was what I heard. It might have got bigger. But, and that's about statistical modelling, you know, changing, I think it was, what was it, around a quarter of grade. So this is going to be even bigger. So can we expect
demonstrations on Thursday, Friday of next week and the week after when GCSE results come out?
Well, who knows? But I think Catherine's story's kind of lifted a bit of a lid on what goes on under the bonnet. And if, you know, if you're close up to this, you think, yeah, it's a bit surprising, but it makes sense because it's a bit like this every year. But if you're not, you just read that and you think, how can that be?
Catherine, am I right in thinking that teachers can share their teacher assessed grades with pupils on results day? Have they been, I think I read somewhere that they've been told that they're able to do that. And I just wonder if that might cause any problems for students who find out that their assessed grade was different to what they were awarded. And also now it's emerged that grade wouldn't necessarily have been taken into account by Ofqual separately from the rank order.
Yes, yeah. So pupils will have the right to see their teacher assessed grades, just not in advance of results days,
right,
but okay, afterwards they can. So you know, I mean, obviously that's been, when you look at the kind of the SQA results and you know, where pupils have sort of felt that their grades have been, you know, massively downgraded from what they might have been. Yes, I think it's very possible that when results come out, you know, if there are large groups of students seeing that, you know, their teacher's grade is different to what they've got, that will cause concern. Although, you know, as Will has just said, most of the grades of course are going to be, you know, within a grade of what teachers would have given anyway. I suppose the thing is to say, well, they'll be the same or within a grade. I mean, within a grade, particularly if you think about A level, is you know, within a grade might not help if you really wanted an A and you've ended up with a B. So that's where there might be sort of a lot of concern there.
Same with
universities.
Yeah,
right. Well, That's a good story you've got on the website, Catherine. It's all there for people to read. And there's some decent quotes from Askill, and I think Barnaby Lemon from the Independent Schools Council is quoted as well. He's chipped in, and Ofqual have obviously commented on this, and they've given quite a good statement, so that's worth reading. Moving on, and to one of our favourite topics on this podcast, Ofsted. And turns out that they've said they're not going to check on schools on whether or not they're complying with government guidance on COVID safety in September. We do know that they're going to visit schools, some schools, and check on certain things like remote learning and safeguarding and well-being and that sort of thing. But Will, is it going to be a problem, do you think, if they're not checking on how well schools are doing with COVID safety measures?
I think some people will think it is. I mean, in this story, we've got the NSUWT Teaching Union. They kind of acknowledged that safety in schools is a matter for the Health and Safety Inspectorate, Health and Safety Executive, that they're the regulator for workplace safety. But they do point out that Ofsted has a responsibility for child safeguarding, which is also part of the safety of schools. So they would argue that there is something there. This story, which came from John Roberts, who's having a summer break at the moment. It was him that decided to look into it, because these visits next term, which are already quite controversial, because Ofsted are saying there won't be inspections, but obviously there's so much kind of innate suspicion of Ofsted that people are saying, is that the case? They are going to look at some of the fallout from COVID, because they're going to look at the quality. I think you said there's a quality of remote learning. So that seems to be, obviously it's that and how people's caught up, but what is the other person at issue that people are going to be thinking about? You know, pupils and teachers, are schools safe? That's going to be the main focus next year. So I guess, again, it's one of those stories. It's about kind of what people might expect. You might think, if you are going to take the chance of going to schools, then wouldn't it be a good idea to see how these kind of things work? And it must come into child safeguarding, but they're not. So we won't be hearing from Ofsted on that.
I just thought the other comment that Patrick Roach made in that story, is the General Secretary of the NSUWT, he said that schools might cut corners on safety because of financial difficulties. And, you know, we've reported before that schools are not going to get any extra cash to cover things like these extra safety measures, like, things like barriers and you know, signage and... you know, that sort of thing, all the sort of stuff that they're going to have to implement to make the school, to maintain these bubbles and social distancing measures. They're not going to get any extra cash for that. And Patrick Roach is saying that, you know, schools could cut corners because of financial difficulties.
I mean, I think that's, it almost makes kind of heads and governors sound like they're kind of, you know, dodgy companies, like, you know, trying to save here and there, and I don't think there's any sense that schools are going to do that, but funding is definitely an issue, isn't it, because they haven't got any extra money, and I don't think anybody quite knows yet exactly how this is going to work. I mean and things might change, personally maybe he knows more than I do, but cutting corners makes it sound slightly more, I don't know, dodgy, almost intentional, but I can't imagine it's going to be easy everywhere.
Well, look, staying on the subject of safety in schools when it comes to COVID, an independent boarding school has come up with quite a good idea, Amy, hasn't it? With this sort of track and trace system. What? Just tell us about that, Amy, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're the first to use this new technology, which are basically a bit like, essentially they're Bluetooth wristbands that can detect who has come into contact with whom in school. So that if somebody gets COVID, for example, test positive, they can figure out who has spent, you know, a certain amount of time within a certain distance of somebody else, and then track back and isolate people kind of, you know, appropriately. Apparently, I asked, and the wristbands are said to look a little bit like a smart Fitbits, you know, those smart watches. They're quite sort of, you know, proper high-tech things. And for some staff and pupils, they'll be expected to wear them, or they'll be sort of switched on and available to wear 24 hours a day. They don't need to be charged very often. So, you know, in theory, you can even wear them while you're asleep or put them on as soon as you get up. And that needs to happen, you know, outside of school hours. Otherwise, these kids and teachers are going to be coming into contact with each other, you know, outside of school, and that, you know, that part of the day wouldn't be tracked. So that needs to happen. But nobody has to wear the wristbands off-site, because they don't really work like that. They don't necessarily track you've come in, you know, where you are. They certainly don't track where you are in the world or where you are on the school site or anything like that. The wristbands are very clever and they communicate with each other. So if you come into contact with somebody else who's got one on, they know how long you've been in contact with that person, and then they can be traced back. So it's all very clever. And yeah, it's going to start off in I think it's September when they go back, essentially at the start of when the school comes back for the autumn. And it'll be mandatory. So the teachers and the pupils will need to wear them when they're on site. But yeah, it was a really interesting story to write about, learn how that technology works. And to see some of the reaction too, because I think naturally some people are slightly frightened by the idea of being tracked all the time and what that might involve.
I was a little sceptical having read it as to how much, anything that would cut infection down seems like a good idea, but I think they were suggesting that if they had pupils in a boarding house and they'd found out that only 2 or 3 had actually come in contact with somebody that was infected.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the boarding house would be allowed to stay. And I just, I don't know about that school particularly, but I just wondered how, if you found out that pupils were like living together, that some of them had got it, wouldn't you quarantine everybody, regardless of what that system said?
Especially the boarding house.
It did make me wonder.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. The whole point of it, I was told, is to minimise the disruption to the school. So the idea is you isolate and quarantine as few people as humanly possible, so people can keep learning. Very loud motorbike was going past my house, sorry. But I think part of it will come down to how parents feel about it as well. And they might think, well, my child was in that boarding house and I don't really care what these wristbands tell me, you know, I'm still a bit concerned and they should be kind of kept separate. So I think we'll just have to see how it goes. Some people I'm sure will be completely on board with it, but it'll come down to how much people trust the technology, I think. Mm. But the school seems to be completely behind it. So we'll see.
Well, look, can I ask, if any of you have seen this this picture by this Scottish student for his artwork?
Really good.
It's really good, isn't it? I think he's got a huge talent. And he tweeted it out this morning yesterday, and he said, thanks for the seed. He tweeted the SQA, the Scottish Qualifications Authority. We're talking about this, you know, pupils being, grades being moderated, possibly unfairly.
Was he being a bit sarcastic?
I think just a bit. But he's really sort of struck a chord with people on social media. I think it's gone viral as this artwork now. And I think from what I would say, if I haven't seen it, and it's on our website, obviously, have a look, see if you think it's worth an A. I certainly do. But, you know, I'm not the examiner. I'm not the moderator. But
I'm not familiar with the criteria, but I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
To the untrained eye, it does look very good. And, you know, you just think there's going to be more of this to come in England. And you know, as we've just said from your story, Catherine, I just get the feeling there's going to be, you know, students on the streets by Friday outside Ofqual.
Brandishing their
artwork.
I think it does show it's what it's about, isn't it? That you can talk about all the percentages and things might be right as a whole, but underneath that, there's always going to be exceptions.
Yeah. And now we have access to, social media in the way that we do. I think it becomes much easier for people to sort of put their work out there and have it judged by the masses, opposed to being judged in the way that a teacher might do or an examiner. So perhaps we'll see a little bit more of that as people kind of seek approval in different ways when they've kind of been, I feel like they've been a bit hard done by this year.
But it is, which is, well, I want to say anyway, I think it is really tough for Ofqual and for the exam boards and for everybody involved, because it's, I don't think there's any way you could have done this properly. And I think, sorry, I shouldn't say that. You might have been able to do it better, but I don't know. But I don't think there's any way that you could have done it that would have kept everybody happy. It's like a really difficult situation with no perfect solution. So I don't think it's a criticism of people. It's just,
just a like really difficult situation, and I think they have done their best to make it fair. So
I mean, people often aren't happy in normal years, are they? They get their grades back and they're still not happy, and they will appeal them then. So I know it's extraordinary times, but no one's ever going to be, you're never going to please absolutely everybody.
Well, let's see what happens this Thursday.
Good luck, everybody, with your A levels. Anybody, teachers and students who are listening.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Best and thanks luck. For listening. Don't forget to check out our website, and see you later.